Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Long Beach, to another edition of Swoop's World right here at blogtalkradio.com. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happenings here in Long Beach. Our number, if you want to call in, is 917-889-7449. You can email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Once again, you want to call in tonight, that number is 917-889-7449. Sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World. Hello, Long Beach, and happy Wednesday night, and welcome to another edition of Swoop's World. Peter, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, Swoop. How you doing?
Good, man. We're looking forward to getting a good lineup tonight. It's us, some beers, and the LB Food Review guys. So we're going to have Chris Lennison calling in a bit. We got Taylor sitting by, and we're going to have a good time. Hey, Taylor, say hello, man.
How you guys doing tonight?
It's all good. Peter, what are we testing here tonight?
Tonight, we are testing Lagunitas, is the brewery, which we've had before. One of my personal favorites, especially recently. This is their Censored Rich Copper Ale, and this is like a big, hearty, red copper beer. Nice on the hoppy. It's a nice balance between hop and malt.
It tastes really good. You know, it kind of looks a little bit like that Killian's Red, but it doesn't taste anything like it.
Nothing like that, no. It's got a lot of kick and bite that you don't get with the Killian's Red. So it's good. I like it. This is one of those ones I could drink, like, all the time. I could get in a whole lot of trouble. Some beers I'm like, I really like that, but I can only have one or, you know, a couple. This one I could just keep drinking, and then who knows what would happen.
Well, it's got a nice little taste to it, and you know, we're gonna continue to taste this throughout the show, and I'll let you know how what our final opinion of it is. You know, I was looking in on the newspapers and the websites yesterday and today, and I see the thing about the urban farm that Councilmember Garcia put together with the New City School. Did you get a chance to take a look at that?
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool. I think it's I'm all for the green spaces and. We've done some stuff with Kelly Johnson, who does some of this work along these lines, as well as doing the farmer's market. So I'm all for it. So
yeah, and you know, I think it's good for kids to get out and get dirty at a young age and learn a little bit about where the food comes from. You know, because it doesn't come from that package on the shelf, right?
Where I grew up, I remember once asking my dad, and I grew up in the area, like, yeah, where all the dirt in our backyard come from? And he looked at me like I was like the stupidest thing on the planet. This is a guy from like Michigan, right? He's like, well, what do you mean exactly? And I was like, well, you know, there's a bunch of dirt in our backyard. Where'd it come from? And he just couldn't understand. But as far as I was concerned, like the whole world was sidewalk and asphalt. The school I was at had asphalt and sidewalk. It's like that's all that was. So like, where did the dirt come from? The dirt was the unnatural part of that equation, and I could not, for the longest time. You know, I was probably like 6 or 7 when I was asking him these questions. So I'm sure it's only gotten worse.
You know,
the urban jungle sort of thing.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's only gotten worse. So I definitely think, I love to garden. I love to do work and in the garden, and my house isn't really set up ideally for the garden, but what I do in the house is, you know, kind of geared towards that. I like to work the soil, that sort of thing, and I've done some work with some of the community gardens in the area, and I like it. So I think it's important that kids kind of have an idea of where the food's coming from and how that whole process happened.
Absolutely. Look, we got Chris on the line. Let's bring him on, and
all right,
we all can join in on this conversation, though. So, hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man. living life in the Midwest today, huh?
Yeah, I drove out here to San Antonio this week, and I'm hanging out with my buddy Boot for a week until Saturday here, and having a great time.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, you know, it makes sense to have a guy from Texas named Boot.
Yeah, he's actually from Northern California. He's not really from Texas, but he ended up here, and it is very apropos. Yes, very much so.
Absolutely.
So how are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great. And Taylor's here with us, and we're just gonna have a good time. We're tasting some Lagunitas. I don't know if you're familiar with the what is this, Peter? It's called the Rich Coffee Ale.
Copper.
No, I have not had it now.
You probably won't find it out there, but you need to get your hands on it.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing there, Bone Man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, I'm holding down the fort in your absence.
Ah, very nice.
I mean, should you owe him a few beers?
More than a few, but that's okay.
Yeah, we went to this lingerie bar tonight, and they had some beers going
that
on
was
there.
Call.
It was a very good time. Yeah. No. This really was. The girls were wearing lingerie. Swear to God.
Uh-huh. That's a store, man.
Oh, man. So, I've had some incredible food while I was here so far.
Excellent.
We went to this place called Chewy's, and they had chicken that was breaded in Lay's potato chips and deep fried with green chili sauce on top.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was good.
No, it's not the Chewy's. It's there's one in Glendale, I believe. Or is that just Chewy's in?
No, I think it's a chain that is. They've only got about 10 restaurants, and I think they're all in San Antonio or surrounding areas.
Oh, very much, very good. So you're gonna test some other Tex-Mex while you're there?
Yeah, we went to a place called the Alamo Cafe today, and it was really good. The fajitas were great. But the best thing I've had so far is for dinner tonight, we went to this place called Rudy's, which is a barbecue place that was started by the same guy that started Romano's Macaroni Grill.
Uh-huh.
And it's like this little place on the side of a gas station, and they had brisket, which was amazing. They had sausages, which were amazing. The turkey was really good, but which was really great was the stuff that they called chopped, which was all their leftover turkey, brisket, and pork and ribs and stuff, everything that was left over in sauce. So it was like a homemade sloppy Joe. It was phenomenal.
Now, besides what you've eaten when you got there, what have you had on the road, man? I think you've been through three or four states.
Well, the first night we just kind of jammed. We stopped at a place called Filiberto's, which is like the Arizona version of Alberto's. You know how there's the Alberto's, all the different names and everything like that,
yeah.
But it's all the same food. The one thing I never had is I never eaten at a Dairy Queen before. I don't know why. Come on now. I'd have the swirl cones, but I never. The one across the street from my house never looked like anybody ever ate there besides gotten ice cream. So I don't know. I wasn't into it.
I ate there a time or seven.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. But I went gluttony style and went for this Texas toast double burger double cheese thing. And it was delicious, let me tell you.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, it was pretty much a heart attack on a plate the whole way here. Hasn't much changed since I got here either. But, you know, somebody did tell me that this is like the second most fattest city in the world or something like that. So,
well, there you go, man. You should have a variety of high-cal good stuff to choose from.
Well, I totally agree with you. I might have a heart attack while I'm here, but I'm just on the search for the world's best chicken fried steak, and supposedly we're going to go to a place called the Cracker Barrel, and that might be doing it for me.
Cracker Barrel makes great chicken fried steaks.
Swoop, I can always rely on you for forward advice. I love it.
There used to be a couple of them out here. There used to be one in Cerritos, just on the what is that, the west side of the Auto Square.
Okay.
Next block up, down south. Used to be one
right
there, man. We used to hit that up after football games in high school and stuff. So there's
they do
make a good chicken fried steak.
Yeah, well, I will be reporting on it next time I talk to you guys.
So.
Go ahead.
And we were just getting ready to ask Taylor how the progressive dinner went.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah, go ahead. Go for it, Bonner.
You got to get your ass out here, man. We're not doing too well across the lines here. I need to see that look on your face so I know when it's my turn to talk.
Is it ever your turn to talk when he's here?
That's a great question.
He's got it only when he goes up for air, right? You jump in.
Exactly.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's be honest. The last time when I was at the Dodgers game, he told me on the way there, "I'm so glad you're coming this week. I didn't know what to say last week. You weren't here to talk."
He doesn't have a lot to say. He just wants to be able to say the little bit
he's a step up from Silent Bob.
It's the language. I try to make every word count, you know?
So progressive dinner.
Tell us about the progressive dinner.
You know, it was a lot of fun. We had just over 50 people show up, so we were slightly oversold, but it was a really good time. You know, we brought a keg of Downtown Brown onto the bus, and we, you know, I think the folks that came along were a little surprised that we had some beers on the bus. And the interesting thing when you
they didn't know you very well, didn't you,
they? You know, they were just sort of feeling it out at that point. Interesting thing when you put a keg on that bus. It takes a while to get one poured that's not mostly foam. Turns out those buses don't ride that smoothly. Apparently, they don't have bumps in England.
Yeah, you're letting me down. I thought you were a frat boy, man. You guys supposed to figure all that stuff out.
Generally, when I see a keg in that circumstance, I'm on my hands and my feet are up. So it's a little different dynamic.
Wait, you're in charge. Yeah, exactly.
But it was a lot of fun. You know, we had a couple of beers and some appetizers at the factory. We had some they do sliders, you know, but these were cold smoked bison, and that was an interesting deal.
Yeah, that.
And they love their sangria at the factory, so we had some sangria as well. And, you know, then it was on to Nino's, and from there, you know, we finished up at Phil Traney's, and it was just a good night, you know.
Excellent. Hey, Chris, tell me a little bit about Phil Traney's. It's one of the places I've always wanted to go, and I haven't made it over there yet.
Well, I've had dinner there a few times, and the dinner, the food's amazing. I love their shrimp cocktail. I love many of their other dishes. But we rolled in there for dessert. We had creme brulee cheesecake. We had some sort of a Kahlua coffee-type drink. There was Spumoni ice cream, I believe. And what else was there, Taylor?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah. I know I had a Remy Martin in there somewhere. But you know, it was towards the end of the night, so everything went off really well, and I was kind of having a good time by that point. But really, the restaurant's amazing. The bar's amazing. A lot of people, my parents ended up in the bar dancing.
Yeah, the bar
you know,
was going off.
it was a really good time. I talked to a few people as we were walking out. One of the biggest compliments I got of the whole thing, when we were walking out, Phil Traney was walking across from the kitchen. I said, "Hey, Phil, you know, I'm Chris Livingston from LB Fieldview. Thank you so much for letting us do this here." And he was like, no, you guys got to do more of this stuff. We love it. Thank you so much. You know, let me know what I can do to help you guys out." So it was really nice to get an affirmation like that, you know, and for the fact that the restaurant industry, the people running these restaurants are really excited to have us in there. And that makes it a lot more fun.
Well, then the one question is, when's the next one?
Well, you know, I'm thinking that maybe I would kind of like to do a three-course meal at a local restaurant, stay at one place, you know, do a three-course meal, have them kind of highlight what they do and how they do it and put out their best dish. So I'm starting to talk to restaurant owners about who would be interested in doing this, and, you know, we'll be working on it. But I'd like to get something going in 2 or 3 months from now. I'd really like to do another event, because I think it's important to keep our name out there, but it's more important to stay involved, because a lot of people that we took on this event, you know, really enjoyed the fact that we were getting out there and supporting the local business, doing something local in Long Beach and taking the bus and everything. I had a couple of people, because we sold like 16 tickets or something the last day. And, you know, there were people that we didn't even know, and they came up, you know, we talked a lot, and they just had such a good time, and they've been looking for something to do like this, and it's appropriate for everybody. It was a great time, and I really appreciated it very much. So.
Well, let me ask you, who did you get, where did most of your people come from? Were they, you know, the east side of town, north side of town? Where were they coming from?
Well, a lot of the people came from our area of town, which would be the Belmont Shore area, because it was our friends. You know, we sold quite a few tickets to our friends. I mean, I had a lot of my parents' friends came down from like the San Dimas, Laverne area, and so we had quite a few people from, you know, our inner circle come down, and they were all from either that area or from out of town. But Taylor might be able to answer to you better where the people that we didn't know really were coming from.
Yeah, we actually had a decent crowd of folks coming from Bixby Knolls and North Long Beach areas, and they were probably almost half of our guests were from this, you know, this part of town. So
very
that was
cool.
Very nice to see some people that, you know, from a different area of town than we live in that we're starting to kind of reach. So that was nice.
Excellent. And then when you can, you know, draw people in from other areas, you know, it just kind of enhances the whole experience, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, people get to meet people, get to hang out and experience, you know, restaurants that they might not have experienced prior to. So that's a great thing. That's always a good thing.
Absolutely. You know, these people, the people that live in different parts of town, they've got things to tell me that I have no clue about yet. So I'm always willing to lend an ear to those folks.
Absolutely. Hey, Chris, how are you doing for hanging on for a little bit? I'm going to go to a break and then come on back.
No, I'm down. I can hang out for a little bit.
Okay, good. All right, hey, you listen to Swoops World on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to give us a call, it's 917-889-7449. Always reach us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you want to email us, it's swoopsworld@gmail.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, gang, let me tell you about another good friend of Swoops World. Bi Art Studios Custom Framing, 2828 East 10th Street at Temple. Bi Art Studios is owned and operated by the talented mixed media artist, Don Morishige, who some of you may remember was a recent guest on our show. Bi Art Studios Custom Framing is a place to go to get all your custom framing needs met, and if you tell them Swoops World sent you, you'll get a 10% discount on top of that. What else can you find at Bi Art Studios Custom Framing? Original works of art. Don just recently held a 12-member show there with 12 different artists showing all their original pieces of work. There's always original artwork there for you to see, for you to buy, for you to purchase, look at, feel, touch. Get on down to Don's shop, Bi Art Studios Custom Framing, 2828 East 10th Street. You got to give them a call, 562-856-9095. Tell them Swoops World sent you. Back to the show right after this.
Welcome back to Swoops World, and yeah, definitely check out Bi Art Studios if you get a chance. Don's a good friend of the show. She's on a guest she's a couple months ago now, and she's right over there off of 10th and Gladys, or 10th and Temple, I believe it is. But check her out. Lots of cool stuff, and she puts on a show for multiple artists each year, a couple times a year, and does some great work herself, right, Peter?
Beautiful stuff. I don't know what she's doing like recently, but the stuff I remember seeing was kind of like reminiscent of the Japanese screen.
Right.
And she has a whole process that defies. It's not quite glass. It's not quite
resin.
It was cool stuff.
Beautiful stuff.
It was really, really fantastic.
Yeah, and if you need any custom framing done, I had her custom frame a couple things for me that were just fantastic. So you get a chance to check out Bi Art Studios. Support those and support Swoops World. And we're back with the LB Fruit Review guys, Taylor Nelson and Chris Livingston. And, Chris, you back up with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. So what else has been happening, man? Your Dodgers are trying to make a turnaround, huh?
Yeah. They're doing quite well. I'm pretty excited. I've watched them two times last week. I think it went Tuesday and Saturday, and they won both games, which was quite nice. And you did the Felipe's French dip sandwiches.
Oh, I can't
really justify going to a Saturday's game without eating two or three or four of those.
You're usually sitting next to some guy who's just kind of that's where he hangs out forever until they close.
Right.
And you got the shavings on the ground and those ladies
behind
the counter, man, they're a peach.
Oh, they're awesome. They make the sandwiches quick. You know, they take orders and they keep it all in their head. I love that place. I bought a shirt in there last time I was there. I love to do the local shirts. I don't want to support some big brand company. I like to support the local restaurants and stuff, you know, and it's fun. And people always, you know, they'll walk up and they'll say, "Hey, man, where'd you get that shirt? I've been there before." You know, and it's just cool places like that. And there's places like that all over L.A., and I wrote about that in my Pink's article that I just wrote recently.
Oh, we'll have to check that out. Speaking of Dodgers, man, what about was it Jose Lima, huh? That's amazing.
Yeah, very much so.
We saw him play at the Armada game.
Yeah, we absolutely did, yeah.
You know that you guys know that Taylor used to sing the national anthem at an Armada game every year?
No, we didn't know that. He's about all shades of red right now since you've done that.
Trying to see if I can blend in with the beard.
Is this true, huh, Taylor?
Mm-hmm. This is true. I did use the moonlight as a minor league baseball serenader.
Oh, wow. You learn something every day when you're sitting here next to Vince Scully's replacement.
I don't know if I'm talkative enough to be a Vince
Scully. Yeah. So I'll just get you out there to sing the national anthem.
I am about the right color.
Hey, Swoop.
Yeah.
So heard you saw your little comment about those Chipotle burgers. What did you guys think about those?
Oh man, those were awesome. You know, they were spicy enough. A lot of times people say that it's something spicy, and they just mean it has a lot of salt and pepper in it.
right. Yeah.
I mean, it had a punch to it, and it was good. And you know, I was telling Peter, I said when I the first time I grilled it, you know, all the juices leaked out, and they were like, you know, what do you call it, a cayenne pepper color in the pan, right? And I
right.
They were great. They were great. I loved every minute of them. They were, and you remember you ate one.
Yeah.
Right. Toilet paper in the freezer.
Yeah.
Ring of fire comes to mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You have to do those again.
So you wanted the recipe. If anybody's listening to this show, we'll go ahead and put it on out there. All right.
That's good.
All right. The recipe is you get 5 pounds of 20% ground beef. Don't get the 15%. You need the fat. Get the 20%. You get one egg, one can of chipotle in adobo sauce. They sell them in the can. You get the small can. I dice it up. I usually kind of puree it with a knife. You throw it on in there. You put about a cup and a half of Progresso Italian breadcrumbs. You put Worcestershire sauce, Lowry's seasoning pepper, and Lowry's garlic salt. Mix it all up with your hands and turn them into patties.
You notice there's not a lot of measurements in there other than the 5 pounds.
Right. Yeah, everything else is like a handful of this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just telling you, experiment with whatever you like is, you know, the amounts of the ingredients. But, I forgot, Parmesan cheese. You definitely eat Parmesan cheese.
And you eyeball the rest.
Yeah, everything else, you just, you know, a handful of this, one and a half handfuls of that. I don't know. I learned how to cook from my Italian grandmother, so I don't really use measuring cups. So, but that's the way to do it. I want to start a little burger shop, and I think those things would sell, man.
Oh yeah, and you know, anybody who's out there listening, you got to try those out. Peter, you had some. I mean,
yeah.
What'd you think, man?
I just got. The kids were freaked out. Wouldn't touch it. Didn't go near it. And my wife took one bite and was like, "Oh, it's too spicy for me." No big deal, because, I mean, there's almost everything that's too spicy for her. But, yeah, no, I loved it. I had a trip with the fact that, as we were mentioning, the next day, you know, you ate one. It was great. I love the flavor.
Fantastic, man. You know, I'm going to pass that on to my brother, because he fancies himself a cook, so he does okay because I taught him well. But we'll have to check and share that recipe with him too.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. The guys on the race team, they beg for him. I make him for the race shop. Took him for everybody for dinner. And one of the guys, Zach, on the team, he'll eat like three of them, and then he'll email me the next day like clockwork. Man, I love your burgers, but Jesus.
Yeah. Definitely a price to pay.
You know, you're gonna have to get that man versus food over there.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Have him challenged.
they're good, man, and people just go through. Wow, I'm telling you, but I just stumbled upon that making burgers one day, so yeah, good match.
Good times. Good times.
Hey, man, have you been to the Buckhorn yet?
Yeah, I went to the Buckhorn today.
Did you?
I did go to the Buckhorn. We did the river.
Dead animals on the wall.
Dude, Boot looks at me and he goes, "Man, I told you this place is like a dead zoo." And I was like, "Yeah, it is, man. It's in the horns."
Of all the old mounts that they've got from back when they could kill animals that don't even exist anymore.
Yeah, dude, like there was this one that was a mix between a cow and a buffalo, a longhorn steer and a buffalo, and they had to, it says on the sign that they had to discontinue the project because the cows couldn't give birth to these things because they had too big of heads.
Oh, Jesus. You guys, I don't know if you've ever been to San Antonio. There is, in one part of San Antonio, there's a place called the Buckhorn Saloon,
and museum.
About 30 or 40 feet high.
Yeah.
And behind the bar, which runs the whole length of the place, it's just floor-to-ceiling animal heads. I mean, and they're all over 100 years old. You know? And they've got, in the next storefront over, they've got a museum with all sorts of different taxidermied animals. I mean, they've got giraffes and all sorts of stuff that you can't hunt anymore, obviously. But it's a sight to behold if you're ever in there.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you guys.
It took me a while to get to sleep that night.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you guys. I went to the Alamo today. That was my first trip to the Alamo.
Oh, wow. I've never.
Yeah, heard. It's really cool. I did. Boot warned me at the door. I was kind of wanting to leave it on and get yelled at somebody. Take off your hat. But you know, I didn't
yell at you. They'll just kick you in the nuts, man.
Oh man. Deep in the heart of Texas. What?
Yeah, you love California, man. You're in foreign territory. You better behave.
foreign territory. The Republic of Texas. You know something else that's cool here, that Boot and his girlfriend Laura, they gave me a little tour around the city, and one of the things I wanted to see was Boot is a professor at University of Texas San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him take me over there. I wanted to see the campus and whatnot. Their pool facility at their rec center has a lazy river. You can rent a tube and lay in a tube and float around in a river at the rec facility. How amazing is that?
And you wonder why they're the saddest city in the world.
Hey, that's physical education, friends. Come on now.
You failed what?
I failed the lazy river. Thank you. Yeah. couldn't cut it to the lazy river, Pops. Sorry about that.
Don't get with an athlete.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Well, it sounds like you're having a good time there, man.
Well, yeah, I'm having a great time. It's you know, it's always good to spend time with your buddies from college. You know, we don't get to see each other very often because he went to Montana and now he's here in Texas. But it's really nice, and it's still raining out here, so everything's super green. It's beautiful. Yeah. And we had a great drive. We actually made it in 21 hours. We just we booked it all the way to Las Cruces, New Mexico, the first night. And we went to this place called Dick's for breakfast the next morning. And the food was great. They had this really spicy habanero hot sauce. And they had great burgers, and everything was just absolutely great.
Did you guys take the 40 or the 10?
We took 10 all the way.
10 all the way, yeah.
Yeah, and we stopped at the largest Harley Davidson dealership in the country.
Which is in
El Paso, and I got a T-shirt, $28 for a Harley T-shirt. It just. I don't know, man. Like, it's
that's cheaper than getting a Harley.
They saw you coming down the road, man.
You made out, man.
I saw your head coming up shining down the road.
I had a couple of buddies that had Harleys, and one of my friends, he used to drop it off in the morning. I'd pick him up on my way to work because the dealership was closer to my house on the way to work. And he says, you know what the HD stands for in Harley Davidson? I said, what? He goes, $100. Every time you walk in there, that's what you spend. So you got off the $28, man.
you know, I got to say, I have a Harley, and I have had no problems with it, but the newer ones are pretty darn good. But, you know, there's nothing better than riding a motorcycle. And taking off, have you guys ever been to that place called the Lookout that's up on the top of Ortega Highway for breakfast?
No. I've been in the Rock Store. I've been there.
Okay, yeah, that's L.A. You got to go the other direction. You go down the 405, you hit Ortega Highway, which one is it, Taylor? Is it 76?
74.
That's for Doheny.
It goes from San Juan up over the mountains back down into Lake Elsinore.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
there's this place called...
Turns green in the desert.
There's this place called the Lookout that looks over Lake Elsinore. And it was rated the number one breakfast, and who knows, somebody voted that. And not LB Food Review, but this is an LB Food Reviewable place. They do ribs and eggs. They do country breakfast. They serve everything in this really cool metal plate. I don't know. The place is really good for breakfast. There's all kind of bikes. If you ride bikes, you got a Harley, or if you got sport bikes, just go ahead and zoom on up there. It's a great time. You can hit it either off of the 15 South in Lake Elsinore, or off the 405, or I guess it's the 5 there, the 5 in San Juan Capistrano. And it's a blast. The ride's great, and the food's wonderful.
Cool. Do you remember that? I want to go get my ass kicked by a bunch of bikers.
Hey! It's mostly sport biker people. It's an easy place. It's not, you know. Come on, man. Cook's Corner is pretty awesome too. I don't know if you guys have ever been over there, but it's pretty cool too. If you go on a Saturday or Sunday, it's like there's bikes as far as you can see, and they always have live bands in there and stuff. It's a good place.
Is that over off of what's the name of it? That's the one. Where's Cook's Corner?
Cook's Corner is like over there off of the toll road, like in over by Irvine Lake, like in that area.
I've never been there. There's a place out.
Behind the curtain.
Yeah, I've been to that place where I forget the name of it. It's in Calabasas.
Can I see it?
Yeah, it's nothing. But there's a place there where a lot of guys. There's 10 bikes. I mean, the whole lot was full of bikes. You park the cars on the road. I can't really remember that place.
You know, there's another biker bar that's right there on PCH, Mother's. You guys ever seen that place?
You're in town?
Yeah. I've been to Mother's.
Mother's is a Harley bar. You go over there, there's There's bikes parked out in front of that place all the time.
The Harley Bar / Beach Bar.
Yeah.
Not exactly the same.
A little different than Thunder, I guess.
You know, there used to be a bike bar right there at 4th and Redondo called the 4th Street Junction when I was in college, man. And
okay.
It was a little rough place, man. It was a real rough bar, but it was actually pretty cool if you felt like risking your life to go in there every once in a while.
Is it the Silver Fox now? Or is
no,
it,
it's on 4th Street. I think it's
you all know where DeVore, California is, right?
Yeah.
There is a biker bar there called the Screaming Chicken. It's an old gas station. They do bike washes there. Chicks in bikinis come out and wash your bike and stuff. And that place is amazing. It is amazing.
Probably the only reason to go to DeVore.
The only reason. Well, no, I mean, Blockbuster Pavilion there is there, or whatever they call it now. It's a great place to see concerts.
Yeah.
Well, hey, just because the Toby Keith crowd doesn't mean you got to be scared, Swoop. Come on now, it's fine.
I'm not afraid of Toby Keith. he's got, you know, my folks are from Oklahoma, and Toby's from Oklahoma. He's got a bar in Oklahoma that I've been to. It's pretty nice. It was really nice, actually. Yeah.
Nice. I've never been to Oklahoma City. I want to go.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a nice place. My folks live there, but I, as far as I know, it's a nice place to be from. It's cool to visit. You know, there's no beaches there, man, and you know,
there's no beaches.
Hot as hell in the summer and cold and heck in the winter. So you know, it's we used to go there every summer, and it's fun to go. I enjoy it. I do enjoy it. I don't think I could reside there full time year round.
That's true. My mom's family's all from Ohio, and I used to love going there and visiting my cousins in the summertime, but I don't think I could live there either.
Yeah.
I do miss the Skyline Chili, though. The Cincinnati Chili is the bomb.
That's the chili on spaghetti. It's a little different.
That's a different kind of meat sauce, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, well, you listen to Swoop's World on Blog Talk Radio. The number here is going to give us a call. It's 917-889-7449. We're here with LB Food Review, and we're going to go to our next break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hey, Long Beach Swoop here. Let me tell you about a wonderful event I just heard about. The Rock Club presents Rock for Vets, benefit concert, Memorial Day, May 31st, here at Long Beach at the Pyramid at Cal State Long Beach. What this is, it's a benefit concert to raise money for the VA healthcare system volunteer services in Long Beach. It's a three-pronged attack. What they want to do is create a rehabilitation wing in the VA hospital with musical instruments and coaches. They want to assist the needs of returning soldiers when they return back from overseas, and also create an education awareness campaign in the community regarding the VA healthcare system here in Long Beach and the surrounding areas. Let's support the men and women who serve. There's going to be a number of acts there, members from El Chicano, Stevie Wonder's son, a whole list of other ones. And what you can do is go to the website. Even if you can't make it, you can purchase a ticket and donate it to a veteran so they can attend the concert. The website address is www.therockclub.net/RFT for Rock for Vets. Check this out. Wonderful event. If you can go, go. If you can donate, donate. If you can participate somehow, get the word out. We totally support this and hope you will too. Hey, Long Beach, you know that beat? And you know it's time for me to tell you about another friend of Swoop's World. Well, I'm going to tell you about Ink Piece. Ink Piece sells environmentally responsible ink and toner cartridges for printers, fax machines, and copiers at prices from 30 to 70% below the major office stores. Owned and operated by our good friend Mark Hawkins. Mark's very active in the community. Local business located at 3636 Atlantic Avenue inside the Copy House. Check out the website, www.classroomrelief.com. What better time with a time around Earth Day to go out there and get yourself some environmentally responsible products. Check out
Ink Peace, 3636 Atlantic Avenue, inside the Copy House. And back to our show right after this.
Back Long Beach. We are here with the LB Food Review. And Chris, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
Cool. You know, just before you called in, we were talking about this new urban farm that Robert Garcia teamed up with New City School, and they're going to use some vacant land to create a educational urban farm. Where's it going to be, Peter?
That's a good question.
Long Beach Boulevard and 15th.
Yeah. There you go, 15th. I'm trying to remember.
15th. And, now that you told us that half the animals are on the wall there at the Buckhorn, I don't know what these poor kids are going to do to learn about raising animals, man.
I think that that's awesome. I really appreciate and very much look up to Robert for all the things that he's doing in our community. I've known Robert for a long time. He's actually one of Taylor and my fraternity brothers. We went to college together, and I think that he's doing great things for the city. And congratulations to him for working so hard and having the goals and getting it all done.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good thing. And Peter and I were talking. We've been involved in a lot of the garden projects, and we've known people that have kind of started some garden projects, and Long Beach has really come around in that sense, and it's good to see something that's going to be dedicated to education, because like we were saying before, a lot of the Peter didn't know where dirt came from, so
right,
a lot of kids just don't experience being involved in that process. And I know when I had my community garden, my son would come out there and help me, my youngest, and there's a lot of things he doesn't like and he would never eat, but he would at least when he planted it and watched it grow, but
he
wanted to taste.
Yeah,
he would at least try. And that's,
I had the same experience
cool
with
point.
My kids.
Yeah,
I could not get them to eat anything green. We'd grow snap peas, broccoli, chard. They didn't necessarily love it, but they'd at least try it because they were the ones who put the seed in the ground.
Right.
When we came back a week or two later, and there's a little seedling, they're like, "Where'd that come from?" That's the seed you put in the ground. And a month or two after that, it's like they're harvesting something. They thought that was the coolest thing. Now, like I said, they didn't necessarily get into eating all of it, but like I couldn't get my son to eat snap peas.
We never got snap peas home.
Exactly. Exactly. We never got snap peas home after that, and he loved them. And even now, he'll eat them. So it's a cool process. I mean, I think it's a great idea, and especially for kids who are all kids. Like I grew up, and I thought asphalt was normal. I thought asphalt and sidewalks were normal. I did not understand where the dirt in my backyard came from. That must have been dropped in from a helicopter or something. I just didn't understand as a kid. And I'm sure there's a lot of the kids in the same boat.
Oh, absolutely. And what you see, a lot of times, I've just heard kids say it. I heard my own kids say it. They didn't know certain things grew. It's on the shelf at the store in a can. You gotta let them know that, or let them at least see the process, at least learn the process, at least get in there and get dirty. We've sanitized ourselves from so much. Most carnivores would never kill an animal, but there were years ago. My grandfather used to tell me when I was living, he grew up on a farm in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. He'd say, I'd go out and if I killed a rabbit, we had something to eat. If I didn't kill a rabbit, we didn't have anything to eat.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was. And you butchered your own stuff and stuff like that. So, I'm not going to teach my kid how to go out and butcher things. And at least he learns how to understand how food grows, how it comes up, and has appreciation for it.
Yeah, where it comes
from. I think that's awesome.
Huge importance.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, the thing is when Peter and I start talking about this, we kind of get into the the whole community garden thing. And you think this is my what I usually say. What's a disclaimer? The opinions here are not expressed by the company. You think that the people who like are into gardening and stuff and into growing their own food or stuff are going to be like the cool laid back folks and stuff. And I've been talking to a lot of people that have been involved in a lot of gardens around town, man. And I'm telling you, there's some hardcore people out there giving people a hard time trying to grow some lettuce, man.
From my own personal experience, I can tell you that there's not a lot of community
in the community garden.
My own personal experience. It was at the Long Beach, the one over there next to the Long Beach Community. Whatever, the one next to the El Dorado Park, right?
Yeah, the one that's so, what do you call it, that's so...
Elitist?
Well, I've heard it...
No, there are different words.
I've heard it referred to by many of people across the community as the Nazi garden.
The Nazi garden. It is.
The Nazi garden.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, those people are so uptight. I had a blast there. I was only there for 1 year, and I grew a ton of shit, and... I mean, I grew everything. They're literally the tomatoes I harvested, I was still eating. So I was harvesting in August. I was still eating in January or February because, you know, I canned and stuff because I'm a chef. So, and I had one lady. This is the lady that was in charge of the whole place. She came over and she said, "Well, why are you growing so much food? Nobody can eat that much." She's in charge of this place and she's, I was like, first of all, I have lots of friends, and I gave a lot away, you know. And then second of all, nothing went to waste. There was never thrown anything away, but she didn't like that I let my tomatoes grow. I mean, tomatoes are, they're a bush. She would clip them and prune them. I'm like, that's just a waste of time, you know. And she once said to me, she once actually said to me, "Well, we don't really eat much at my house." And I was like, well, then what the hell are you doing?
Well, she didn't
but
come
she's
up
in charge.
She's in charge, man.
She was in charge, and she didn't like that I didn't have all my things in neat rows. Because I'm the kind of person that, you know, I like to maximize my space, and I like to pack as much stuff in there. So I grow, like, literally, you couldn't see the ground in my plot.
Right.
And all they could see is that I was messy, and so I kept getting dinged for, they would write you out, is what happens, and you get written up for...
Sounds like my homeowners association.
One time I had sunflowers that were too close to the road. Like the road cares if they're sunflowers. And I had another time where I hadn't clipped my tomatoes back. At a point, I just realized this is just, it's taking the fun out of it.
Well, see,
plus, I showed up with my kids a few times. I can't tell you the dirty looks I got. And any time I showed up on my bike, not every time, but often when I showed up on my bike, somebody asked me, "Do I belong there?" I got the little, they give you a tag.
The tag and everything.
So I put the tag on the bike handlebar.
Gate opener.
I got a gate opener. I've opened the gate. I have a tag on my bike. And I can't count the times. I'm just saying.
You're not blue out of that tag.
But see, here's the thing.
Are you sure you're not talking about Orange County?
We're positive, man. It's on the other side of the 605.
There.
Let me tell you something. It's my opinion, my not-so-humble opinion, that the folks that end up in charge there were the ones that always had their hands up wanting to get picked when you were a kid, and nobody ever picked them. So this is their revenge, man. I'm in charge of something now, and I'm going to make your life miserable. You know,
just like a homeowners association. Just like a homeowners association.
Totally. That same sort of mentality. And they're uptight. And like I said, they just took the joy out of it. In fact, I actually called them up and said, "I'm done." Before they actually kicked me out. I mean, I knew that's where it was going. But it had become so unpleasant that after about a year and some, I was just like, this sucks. I'm not even having fun. So gardening should be fun, man. I mean, unless you're starving to death, right? Unless you're trying to feed yourself, then it's work. Otherwise, gardening should be fun.
It should be fun.
I hope that they can keep it that way in the new place. So what are all these urban farms about then?
Ray. That's Ray coming in from the Peanut Gallery over here. We have another guest, an onlooker, a political operative in the room with us today.
Well, I think, I mean, in the case of the Long Beach Community Garden, the one that's over there, I don't think it's really, I don't think they would not appreciate the concept that they were urban gardens.
No.
So I think that's a newer term, because they've been around for 20 years or so.
Well,
I think they would actually take exception to that. I think this urban garden is a different idea than what these guys are even thinking.
This is totally different. People, it seems like the people with those gardens or that garden there specifically are the ones that, you know, would really love to have Sunset Magazine come and take pictures of their fruit.
Yeah.
And they don't want anything that, urban, period. Whether you...
Urban's
a bad word.
I'm
soily. But, you know, when you talk about a lot of the community gardens that spring up outside of the, that organization, seems to be people are having a good time. I mean, there's two gardens in Wrigley. One is under the same organization that one's under, and the other one split off. And we know the person who's running the other garden, and it seems everybody seems happy. Everybody seems to get along, and there seems to be community in that community garden. So,
yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is the community garden that's over there on? It's like right behind our fraternity house, like a 10th and. 10th and, what is it, Taylor?
10th and Euclid.
10th and Euclid?
It's 10th and Loma. And I was there for a while. And,
the first year there was community.
There was community there for a while.
And then changed over. Right?
Seriously, some of the people who are in charge there now were people that came from Peter's Garden.
No. Well, not people that came from there.
Peter's Garden.
People that were kicked out. Right?
No.
Sprouts have a stake in it now, that one there on 10th Street. I thought there's some store.
No. Originally, it's Wild Oats. The Wild Oats no longer exist.
Okay.
But I guess they helped them get it started. But it's my understanding, not that one, but there's some people there that have kind of taken charge. And it's not just the gardener. It's from my understanding, don't quote me on this, but it's the parent organization has gotten really too big for their britches. And They oversee one, two, three or four gardens. So I know for a fact that you have one person split off from their
garden bureaucracy. Garden.
Yeah, and it is. And like you said with the homeowners association, I had a friend who had a homeowners association, and the rule was to paint your house. You can only paint your house an earth tone. And he painted his house an earth tone, but it wasn't the right earth tone. It was either too tan or not tan enough or whatever.
It was red.
Yeah, it was just strange thing, man.
Part of the earth is this tone.
Dude, I live in Stony Brook. You guys know where Stony Brook is?
I know Stony Brook. Oh, yeah, you said a friend lived over when I was in college.
Dude, it is like a regime. I mean, the people all talk shit on each other. They all sit around the pool and clack, 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 yakety, yak, 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 yap, 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 constantly talking shit on everybody. Oh, my God, that place is a gossip mule. It's horrible. And they're constantly out of money and approving stupid-ass shit. I'm sorry, don't get me going. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I remember the first day when you were worried about what words you could say on this radio. And you just said shit 3 times in 30 seconds.
I heard Peter drop a couple, so it gave me the road. I was okay. I got the clear.
You got the clear.
Dude, you need to write us a check or something here to cover our fines.
Yeah, Howard. Peter can tell you a story about getting a letter that said he violated a rule that didn't exist.
Yeah. Told me at the community garden, they told me I planted my sunflowers too close to be edged. And then I went back and they cited some rule, and I went back and I looked through, and they make sure you get the rules before you're even allowed. Like, you get the rules.
You had to take a class, man.
I had to take a class for like 3 hours, and all they do in that class is read the rules to you. And then I remember going back, and I'm like, I wanted to see what rule did I break? And I realized that I hadn't broken any rules. They just made shit up. They just said that I'd... Because somebody, and then here's what I came to learn, the same woman I was talking about earlier, who's in charge of the whole place, her lot, here was really my downfall. Her lot was two rows over and two plots in. So she was literally like a stone's throw away. And that was my downfall, is that, and she hated sunflowers. And what she told me was, she said, oh, sunflowers are horrible. It's just so horrible. Because you know what? The birds, they just like to sit on, and then the birds eat them, and then the birds go, and they poop them all around, and then you have sunflowers in your garden.
Oh, the birds.
But apparently,
dude, I can just totally see some.
Worse than that, the squirrels, they like to climb up the sunflowers. And the squirrels spread those sunflower seeds everywhere.
What'd you say, Chris?
We have a lady that we call the garage walker. She actually walks around, like around 11 o'clock at night. She circles the complex, and she takes down notes of everybody that's not complying with any rules or in the HOA, the HOA booklet.
Yeah.
And she reports you, and you get letters. She reported me for having a beach towel over my railing. Sorry. I am so sorry.
The whole thing just baffles me, because where I grew up, the only rule about any of this was your horse had to be at least 30 feet from the street.
Taylor has a horse in the front yard of his house.
Amen.
You know, it's funny because you talk about the HOA and stuff like that. I had a friend who's where they live, if you were parked not in your space, but in a visitor space, they would take this 8x10 notice and slap it on your windshield.
Oh.
But it was bright orange.
Oh my god!
And it was adhesive. It was adhesive, and so when she would try to pull it off, it would rip.
Yeah.
And you'd have to actually scrape it off. You know.
They do it at the brook. They do it at the brook.
You pay extra money for this, huh?
Yeah. Your dollars at work.
You know, when I was in college, the brook was just apartment. No HOA.
Right. You know, I must say, though, out of all the places I've seen in the city, that is a nice-ass place. I mean, really, really nice. A couple of pools, gym, everything. But it's just having to follow the rules is just so hard. I mean, it's like you got to be like, walking around with a rule book all the time, making sure you're following the rules. They have a rule that you can't have your dog on longer than an 8-inch leash. What the heck is that about?
I just duplicated the little dash mark there.
That'd be 8 feet.
Yeah, probably 8 feet, yeah.
But your dog is not compliant in weight terms anyway. So
that's right. My dog is 27 pounds, and they only allow 25-pound dogs. The Lucas is too big.
They're going to show up at your house with the scale, dude.
Better get that dog on the treadmill.
Dude, they've tried to have me thrown out of there plenty of times, believe me.
I've been thrown out of better places than this.
That's right. That's why I'd be screaming as I was flailing my arms as they were throwing me out. Yeah, you just see it. Oh.
We didn't do a whole show on stupid rules, man.
Hey, so last time Taylor and I were on the show, we asked if you guys would give us some suggestions of places that we could, converse about. So do you guys come up with anywhere?
You know, I don't know if you have reviewed. I checked out that Atlas Cafe. Have you been there?
I have not gone yet.
Orange. Oh, man, it's fantastic. It's fabulous. I like to hear what you guys have to say about that.
All right.
I very rarely eat meatloaf, but I always kind of, it's one of those things, my mom used to make it as a kid. So every once in a while, I'll see it somewhere, and I'm thinking, should I take the chance on this? Because, sometimes it's just a brick. But they had a meatloaf on special last time I was there, and, it was fantastic. And the thing is, it's only about five tables in there. It seats about, 12 people. You got to hit it at the right time or make reservations. But it's amazing. I mean, it's got the whole big poster Guy Fieri there, because he made it one of his triple D's when diners, drives, and whatever. check that place out. I think you guys will enjoy it.
How awesome is it that Guy Fieri
at Asabuco on the thing, but it was with Lamb Shank.
Nice.
They had it on the menu. Yeah, that's special.
Let me suggest something. Have you guys ever done anything like this farm to table? I mean, have you gone to somebody's farm and say, hey, what do you do with this produce? I mean, I was at First Fridays a few weeks ago. That was the first time I've seen raw garlic. You know, I think his name is Pete. Lives over there in Wrigley area. Grows garlic.
Uh-huh. Huh.
So, I mean, have you thought about doing something where, I know Sasha with the Wrigley Garden.
Right.
Has one of her projects she wants to do is this farm to table thing where you can actually on the farm prepare the food, eat it there.
You know, I've never done it. But Chris, I'll let you answer that too. But I used to watch this show. That's what it was all about. And they would go to all
movable
these farms,
feet, right?
Huh?
Movable feasts, isn't that?
Yeah. That's it. And they used to go to all these different farms, and they would bring in the local. You know, butcher guy, whoever grew, you know, raised cattle. So the feast would take place on a farm or somebody's large property, and they would bring in local chefs, and all the food came from that area. You know, they go to the local winery, the local cattleman, the local this, that, and the other, and they would prepare this feast right there with people who they invited, and it looked like a really cool concept. Chris, have you guys done anything like that?
You know, have not, but thanks for the idea. You know, I mean,
that's right.
You know, as I'm sure that Taylor would tell you, we're down for almost anything, and I love community events, so let's get something like that put together. Why don't we all sit down and talk about that?
There's enough growers here in Long Beach between the Irving Gardens we're talking about, Sasha's great,
mm-hmm.
Kelly Johnson,
yeah,
Jimmy Ng. There's enough people growing here. I don't know how much on the meat end of things, but if you went with seafood,
you know, seafood,
we've got some seafood people, right? Long Beach Seafood, is right.
I think it would be pretty. We could go to the Mexican markets and get meat to get the beef, you know, fresh beef and stuff like that. And we can also talk to Natalie at the factory because she locally sources her beef, don't she?
There's a poultry place on Magnolia.
Really?
Go in there and pick their chicken.
Really?
Really?
You have to spin it around by the head and break its neck?
Not voodoo style, but yeah.
You know, when I used to work downtown L.A. In Chinatown there, there's a couple of poultry markets there, and they got turkeys and stuff too. And the thing is, you just go in and you pick it out, and the guy grabs it and walks to the back, and 10 minutes later, he hands you a bag.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
presumably the one you picked out, right?
Presumably the one
you picked out. No real way to
go. But no, I like that. That'd be a cool concept if we could get a restaurant involved or even, you know what, I mean.
No, I think that we should keep it all, like little guys.
That's what I was going to say. If we're talking little guy, and we're not talking selling necessarily, because restaurants are selling food, and when you're selling food, the health department gets involved, and then a whole bunch of rules apply. But if we were talking, now I'm just spitballing here, but if we were just talking about a bunch of people who wanted to bring a bunch of food to a single location,
hot luck.
An event. Now, I'm not saying I would necessarily volunteer, but I have a certain amount of experience in this sort of thing. I did a certain amount of catering, a certain amount of cooking. That could be kind of cool. And we could then highlight all the people involved
and all the growers. And you know, you could probably team up with Sam, you know, from Conspiracy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Concerts in the park are coming up. It's summertime coming up here.
As long as you're selling.
Hey, can we have a conversation about this next Tuesday?
Selling things. That's when the health department says you have to do this and this and this. If we're just a bunch of people getting together to promote local businesses, local growers, local whatever. Well,
you know, and that's important because we're really talking about urban farms and farmers markets. And, you know, you probably know Russ Parsons, and he's got, you know, his critique of farmers markets. I mean, they're anything but local. These guys have to bring things from Calabasas or wherever. I mean, they're not ConAgra, but, you know, they're not exactly the most environmental people in terms of just the distribution. So, And Swoops and I were talking about earlier about what is it about these urban farms? Is it, you know, the food production? I know Sasha's about the food production. Is it about the organic side of it?
or is it about the food Nazi side of it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what is it that's bringing these communities together? Because at the end of the day, what Kelly and Sasha and Wrigley and everybody else is doing is creating community around food.
Right,
right, right. Knowing where your food came from is huge. I mean, we don't even think of it now. Now it's like, I mean, for so many years, like as Swoop was saying, like my kid didn't know where it came from. Just showed up on a shelf in the market somewhere. And now people are starting to go, well, maybe I should know where my food's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a cool project to be a part of. And we could maybe, I don't know.
And, you know, and bottom line is you're breaking bread with friends and your neighbors and you're creating another sense of community, too. So.
Yeah. No,
dude, I would be so excited to get involved in something like that.
Well, now let's put it on the back burner for tonight. Let's get together next week and let's all talk about it. And just,
okay, let's do that. Please do that.
See if it's doable. I think it is doable. And
there's enough resources here. I mean, we're a big city, and we have enough of that urban stuff that's going on that the gardening, that we could make things happen.
Yeah, and we know enough people to make it happen. So let's do it.
All right.
Pay the bill.
There you go.
We've got 4 bell peppers to contribute by the time we put this together.
There you go.
Hey, Chris, you good through another break, or do you got to go? I know it's late over there.
You know, my cell phone's going to die, so I must bid you guys adieu. But thank you very much for the opportunity to meet up with you guys tonight.
And thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate it. And then give me that website again, man.
www.lbfoodreview.com. You know, check it out. Find a local restaurant. Try it out. Let us know what you think.
Absolutely.
Next time we talk, we'll expect a full report on San Antonio cuisine.
I will have it for you, and I hope that the next time that you guys have us on the radio, we're talking about when we're going to be planning this dinner, because this sounds like a blast.
Absolutely. All right, Chris, thanks a lot, man. And,
all right, guys.
Well, Taylor, hold down the fort the rest of the night, man.
All right, thank you very much. Later on, Bowman.
Peace. Hey, you listen to Swoops World on blogtalkradio.com. You can check out our website, swoopsworld.com, and find all the archived shows we've had on there. You want to give us a call? We got about 20 minutes left with 917-889-7449. Also, the chat line is available. You can always find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. On this week's Friends of Swoops World segment, we spotlight two local businesses, Alfred's English Gardens and Richco Gates. Kathy Alford of Alfred's English Gardens was recently chosen by the City of Long Beach Water Department to help educate homeowners about alternative low-water garden options. Visit the website and click on eSmart Gardens for case studies and photo galleries of gorgeous gardens in Long Beach. Go to www.kathyalford.com. Richco Gates. Richco is a local builder that specializes in locally handcrafted outdoor woodwork built specifically for each client. Richco believes in doing a great job and having fun in the process. He builds gates in a variety of styles. Check out the photo gallery at richcogates.com for more information. If you'd like to become a friend of Swoops World and have your business mentioned on our air, send us an email at swoopsworld@gmail.com. And back to our guests right after this. Let me tell you about another friend of Swoops World, the Long Beach Sunday Farmers Market in the Cal Heights area, located right there at Longfellow Elementary School at California Avenue and Bixby Road. You can't miss it. It only started in November of last year, and it's grown every week. Tons of vendors there, man. Fresh produce to die for. You got fresh produce, you got crafts, you got, what do you got, music, coffee. You know, some of the people who played there, you have Michelle Mangione's performed there, Robert John. If you haven't heard Robert John, you got to check him out. He's here quite a bit. Free cooking demonstrations by local chefs, crepes, you name it. And Swoop and Peter are there every week, teaching chess and providing chess boards for free chess play. Tons of things to do. Playground for the kids so the parents can go out there and shop. Great place to go. Long Beach Sunday Farmers Market, Longfellow Elementary School, corner of California Avenue and Bixby Road.
welcome back to Swoops World on blogtalkradio.com, where we're at every Wednesday night and a couple other nights during the week sometimes. First Fridays here and there, we were at Bike Fest. We actually co-hosted with Michael Knight from the Michael Knight Show a couple weeks ago when he did a paranormal investigation here in the city of Long Beach. And speaking of Michael Knight, we had a couple good friends of Swoops World that are on Blog Talk Radio. And give them a chance to check them all out. You got Michael Knight. He's on every, just about every day, right, Peter?
At 6 days a week.
Yeah, 3 o'clock, the Michael Knight Show.
Except for Saturday, which is, as we know, Saturday about 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he does
something like
during the day sometimes, every once in a while on a Saturday. Then he's got, then we have a good friend on the East Coast called Night Views. Check them out. Got another good buddy of ours, Stevie Mack, is on for just as much as Michael Knight. He's on pretty much Monday through Thursday at 6 o'clock for a little half-hour show, and Stevie Mack's a comedian. Check him out also. I was hoping that we'd have Michael Knight on tonight because I'd like to hear what's happening with that investigation, and I also want to hear about, you know, he played in a charity poker tournament last Thursday, I believe, where they were raising money for kids, and he was playing with a lot of professional poker players, Annie Duke, who some of you know is a professional poker player, and some of you know from the Celebrity Apprentice last season, and some other folks are going to be there, and I was kind of hoping to chat with him tonight about that, but haven't seen him on the line tonight, so I think I'll give him a call tomorrow and hear what happened with that. You know, Peter, you just mentioned that the Hilda Bay came out with a report card of the waters here in Long Beach today or yesterday. How do we rate?
Yeah, as reported on the LB Post here, we don't rate so well. We never rate very well, unfortunately. But we are doing better, according to Heal the Bay. They give us overall, Long Beach has received a C- grade. So,
if we were a D student last year, we should have some improvement, right?
Hell yeah. So we're improving.
Moving on up.
But, the big problem with Long Beach, there's a lot of problems. Number one problem is we got the river dumping, which is basically all of L.A. County's shit ending up in our harbor, which then ends up in our beaches. So that's a tough thing to solve.
For you miners out there, he meant stuff.
Stuff. and then we got the breakwater, which...
Let's talk about the breakwater. You know, they're making a huge deal about it right now, and they're talking about tear down the breakwater and stuff like that. And you know what? Hey, I love waves just like the next day. But we did have Tracy Egoscue on a few months ago, who was the
executive officer
for the Southern California Regional Water Quality Board, who said it might not be the greatest idea to knock down the breakwater because of all the years of toxic crap that's
right
and settled.
Basically, in a nutshell, the breakwater's been there about 50 years. And for 50 years, all that sediment has built up. Stuff that normally would have been swept out to sea or along the coast is not. It's just sitting there. If we were to all of a sudden remove the breakwater, one problem we might encounter is a level of pollution right off our coast that we've never seen. Because right now, that pollution is layered and it's compacted and it's basically become part of
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's in a safe spot, essentially, because the ground's not being disturbed, and now the ground would be disturbed. This is actually a problem that the Hudson River had back in the mid-70s, I believe, when they decided...
My understanding the Hudson River is the worst river in... So you even dip your toes
in. It used to be.
What about the Cuyahoga? Can't you light that one on fire?
Well, there's no such problem. But one of the problems with the Hudson River was that GE ran a whole bunch of factories, heavy metal, stuff that produced a lot of heavy metal runoff. And then all that runoff went downstream, and then it was encapsulated. And then when they wanted to clean it, because the fishery and the oyster beds and all that were dying, they hey, let's go clean all this up. And then when they started cleaning up, what they discovered was that they actually created more of a problem because they disturbed these layers of heavy metal that weren't a problem.
As long as they were not
disturbed. And we, in theory, now, I mean, nobody really knows because nobody's really ever had to deal with this on this sort of a scale, this length of period, in an ocean. I mean, that was a river. This is an ocean.
Yeah.
there's a theory that you would have a lot of problems with opening up the. Now, would that be a temporary, a short-term problem, or would it be a massive problem? Nobody really can say.
Well, you're talking
right now.
You're talking 50 years of sediment. Even in short-term, you're looking beyond our lifetime.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about a problem that took 2 or 3 generations to create. Odds are it'll take 2 or 3 generations to solve. So breaking down the rate, the breakwater is this complex problem. I mean, and then there's the other issues that people talk about, too. It's like, will this flood Naples? Will it flood all of that area? Will it create problems for the shipping? And if it creates problems for the shipping, will it then result in shipwrecks, oil floods, oil spills, or just even fuel spills? I mean, there's a lot. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it. But, I mean, we're lost tax dollars.
Yeah.
Then there's the whole economic. It's a hugely complex situation.
Let's put that sediment in context. When you say shipping, that sediment largely was produced by the Navy Yard. Okay.
Well, not just the Navy Yard, though.
Not just the Navy Yard.
Stuff coming down the river, too.
Runoff from the whole.
It's a combination of the two.
Right. But the Navy Yard, I mean, there's that. I think there's a patch of DDT.
Yeah.
Off of PV.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So, I mean, this was the Navy, the government. We're here to help.
We'll be right down to clean it up, too.
See, because that's the thing, is they also had a whole different set of rules. What applied to commercial people did not apply to them. And I had a brother.
What applied back then does not apply to them.
Totally, right. And I have a brother who spent time on a naval ship. He spent time on a aircraft carrier, and he said, "Yeah, you know, when we ran out of when the batteries were no good anymore, and they had batteries for everything, right? We just threw them up over the side of the deck. Now, a commercial vessel cannot do that, not legally. Military had so who knows what they were just tossing over, and all you need to know about that is to go look at what was uncovered as SeaWorld down in San Diego developed Mission Bay and sections of Mission Bay and stuff that they uncovered that the Navy had, because they had the different, first of all, they didn't understand, right, the different set of rules because you're talking 50 years ago. And then second of all, they had a different set of rules that they were playing by anyhow.
Right.
And then it's been sitting there for a certain amount of time. Who does it belong to? There's always chain of custody. You know, it's like, how'd it get there? What was it most? Yeah, you know, so there are a ton of issues or concerns for Long Beach, for sure.
You know, another thing, and you know, we're getting short on time, but another thing that concerns me about this is I've heard people say that the city council needs to commission another study. Now, in my understanding, there's already one study done by the city, and there was a study done by someone who used to work for the city, which, and I think these things are several hundred thousand dollars a pop, right?
Yeah.
And
recently I heard that the Army Corps approved further studies.
The whole letter drive was trying to.
No, I don't think they approved it. I think what they did, I should have checked that out before we start talking about this. But I heard what they did is that they were in support.
Yeah,
of
the local branch.
But being
of the
in
Army
support
Corps,
of it
supports it.
And approving it are two different matters,
yeah.
Right?
Well, who's going to fund it? I mean,
who's going to fund it?
How many studies do we need, and at what cost? I mean, and for what? And what is it worth the eventual outcome?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, are we going to spend all this money running all these studies?
In a perfect world, we'd do all this. We'd fix it all. It's just at the end of the day, you have to say who's going to pay for it.
Well, my question is, what harm is it causing us? As it is it causing any harm? Because you always say the squeaky wheel gets the grease. The people making the most noise about tearing down the breakwater, and the only reason they want to tear it down that I hear them say is because we want our waves back. It's got to be more than that.
Fucking A.
Got to be more than that.
What the hell? There doesn't need to be more than that.
Wreck up the street. Go to Seal Beach.
Okay, man. I want to surf in Long Beach.
We got a C-, man. You want to go in the water there?
If there's waves? Well, if there's waves, I'll go.
Yeah, it's like surfing at the jetty, man.
Well, to bring it back, you want this show to be positive about life. There is a lot of interest. I mean, we have a lot of people coming to these breakwater meetings, probably more people to these breakwater meetings than your budget hearing.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to say it's futile, but there is a question of how much interest we have on something that will it ever happen, because it becomes a fiscal issue.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so where do we direct that energy and interest of people who are coming to these meetings expecting some outcome, but do we just end up with status quo?
Right.
You know, but I think it's positive. I think it's positive that there's that much interest in it. And whether it be restoring the waves or cleaning up the ocean,
right?
There's the positive thing is there is a community engaged on that issue.
Well, and I think it's always a positive thing when the community is engaged. You know, like we spoke today, you know, low voter turnout, you know, you have the apathy that seems to run. And it's just not here. It's nationwide. It takes things to get people sparked up and fired up about something, and it's good to see the people engaged in something. And I just want to see. I'm just curious. The fact is what we're putting, like you said, we're putting all this energy into something that has a chance of happening, and is there's a reason for it. And that was my only question, because you know I like waves just as much as next. I mean, you know me, I've lived right there on the beach several times on there, and that was my, you know, that was my view. And yeah, it's kind of nice to be able to walk out there and, you know, jump in the waves. You know, and when you have to load up your surfboard, when you live on the beach and load up your surfboard and drive to another beach to surf, sometimes
there's something wrong with
there's
that.
There's definitely something
sure.
wrong with that. Exactly.
I mean, I won't let my kids go in the water. And along those lines, you know, the Heal the Bay report, one of the things they talk about is the water quality, but one thing they don't really test is the sand and the high tide water marks. And my wife was the Santa Monica Baykeeper, excuse me, for 4 years. And one of the things they found independently was really disconcerting was the level of bacteria on the sand. Because if your argument is, the waves are too dangerous. The ocean is dirty. I'm not going in it, but I'm going to sit on the beach.
Tell the listeners what they do to try to kill that bacteria in the sand.
What they do to kill the bacteria in the sand is they throw down pure chlorine.
Yeah.
That's what kills it. And Mother's Beach is a perfect example of they have found levels of things like E. coli, that are like way, way beyond what would be allowed in the water. The thing is that there's no standards nationally or statewide for what can be in the sand. And nobody, generally speaking,
who's testing it?
Nobody does, because nobody ever realized that this stuff could survive in the sand.
Yeah.
So it was like, if it's in the water, it's dangerous, you shouldn't be in the water. And that's what they test. And that's what the Heal the Bay thing does. They test what's in the water. And that's great. I mean, I'm not bagging on that. I mean, we should know. But what nobody's really considered is that the sand, we think of the sand as dry land, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's basically wet. It's basically dry water, which means that, especially with the high tide and low tide marks, in that area especially, it's never really dry. So if there's something that's in the water, it gets in the sand, and the sand oftentimes can be much, much more polluted than the water itself. And nobody is testing for that. And that's a scary thought. So if they're giving us a C-, Heal the Bay is giving us a C- in the water department, the sand is probably worse.
But if the sand and the water is exchanging, does that C- come from all of the chlorine that's bleaching into?
Well, they're not normally bleaching in most places. They're only bleaching when they reach this level that it's like in, for instance, in Redondo Beach 2.5 years ago, they actually had a pump station, a sewage pump station that basically failed to work. And when it failed to work, the sewage just literally raw sewage leaked onto the sand and then into the ocean. the original fine that Redondo received for that failure was for the water that reached the ocean. And they received, like, it was whatever, hundreds of thousands of dollars of fine for failure to clean the water before it hit the water or hit the ocean. Later, they realized, oh my God, the ocean's really not the problem here. The sand, and this is where they, this is where this issue came up. It's like, once this stuff gets in the sand, there's no way to get it out. And then once it gets there, it multiplies. And so that's, at that point is when they started throwing down pure, I have pictures on my computer of tanker trucks, like you see, like pulling up to gas stations to deposit gas into the, you know, gas station, tanker trucks where the back end are just open and they're spraying chlorine onto the beach.
What happened in Huntington Beach?
What's that?
They had a bacteria problem in Huntington Beach.
Oh, I didn't know about
the sewage problem. It was closed a few summers ago. They could not identify the source.
They could not. And the source was the ocean that then it basically infected the beach. And the idea was, like, how's this happening? And it was, again, one more step of this. It's a loop. We think of the beach as a safe, it's land. And so, what, you know, land's not harmful, but sand is not land. Sand is basically, it's like I said, it's kind of like dry water. It's still, because the water, anybody who's been at the beach and dug deep enough, you find water, right?
Right.
And where does that water come from? That water is the ocean. So if it's in the ocean, what ends up happening is the ocean is so vast that it kind of basically dilutes it. The sand is not vast, and it multiplies.
Well, there was a few years back, and we're almost out of the time there, but a few years back, near you remember the theater when Huntington Beach had the big globs of crude, you know, in the sand there. You walk across the sand, and your feet would be
tar balls
mm-hmm. Yeah, stuck to them. So.
I was a kid, we used to play that all the time.
Yeah.
Coolest thing in the world. Yeah. Again, that goes back to, like, dirt in the backyard.
There you go.
Tar is normal.
You know, maybe that's a topic for another show. I just spent a little bit of time in Santa Barbara. And, you know, there's tar balls up in Santa Barbara.
And that's just from 60s.
And the industry has a solution, and that is let us release the pressure that's pushing out all of this tar by drilling. So with, you know, New Orleans at stake and with the president's natural resource agenda, you know, and with Thumbs Island, this does ultimately come back to Long Beach. So maybe that's something we can talk about.
We will have to, and we're going to have to do it at a later date because we're going to have to thank our guests for being with us tonight. We've had Taylor Nelson, Chris Livingston, LB Food Review. We are happy to have Ray Polk in sitting in for us. And you know, what's your title, Ray?
Do you have one? You're thinking about it.
I'm thinking about it.
He's making stuff up
he's
now.
He's stopping by. Let's
just see what's up. I told Stu I was going to be just
for a while. So, he's going to be hanging with us every once in a while. We're glad to have him around. You listen to the Swoops World. Blog Talk Radio, every Wednesday night, 9 o'clock, and Peter and I are here. We're having a good time always, and hope to see you again. Thanks for listening in. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and if you got a question or an advice or anything like that, send us an email at swoopsrow@gmail.com. Good night, Long Beach.
Good night, all.